তবে বিষ্ণুপ্রিয় ঠাকুর নিরাপরি নাই, তবে তো করিল প্রভু দেবী জয় জয়। Chaitanya went to the East Bengal, where he did extensive preaching and established himself through his learning. Then he came back to Bengal and he conquered the champion of learning named Keshava Kashmir. As in the modern day, there are many champions in sports. So in bygone days, there were many learning scholars in India who were champions in learning. One such person was Kesava Kashmiri, who came from the state of Kashmir. He traveled all over India and at last came to Navadvipa to challenge the learning scholars there. Unfortunately, he could not conquer the learned scholars in Navadvipa, for he was defeated by the boy scholar Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he surrendered unto him and later became a pure Vaishnava in the Sampradaya of Nimbarka. He wrote Kastuba Prabhava, a commentary on the Vedanta commentary of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, which is known as the Padatta Bhashya. The Bhakti Ratnakara mentions Keshava Kashmiri and lists his predecessors in the disciplic succession of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. And it mentions Srinivasacharya, Vishwacharya, Pushottam, Vilas, Sarup, Madhav, Balabhatta, Padma, Shyam, Gopal, Kripa, Devacharya, Sundara, Bhatta, Padmanabha, Upendra, Ramachandra, Ramana, Krishna, Padmakara, Savana, Guri, Madhava, Shyama, Gopala, Balabhatta, Gopina, Keshav, Gokul, and Keshav, Kashmiri. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakara that Keshava Kashmiri was the favorite devotee of Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. By her grace, he was an extremely influential scholar. He was the greatest champion among all the scholars in the four corners of the country. Therefore, he got the title of Vijayi, which means one who has conquered everyone in all directions. He belonged to a very respectable Brahmana family of Kashmir. Later, by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave up the profession of winning championships and became a great devotee. He joined the Nimbarka Sampradaya, one of the Vaishnava communities of the Vedic culture. Vrindavan Das Thakur has previously elaborately described this, that which is not, which is clear need not be scrutinized for good qualities and faults. Offering my obeisance to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, I shall try to describe that portion of the Lord's analysis, which when he heard it made the big Vijayi feel himself condemned. It's interesting how in the Veda culture, they had championships of learning. Right now in India, people are preoccupied with the Cricket World Cup. said that while the Cricket World Cup was going on, a doctor refused to see his patient. He was busy watching the World Cup and the patient died. And the people wanted to kill the doctor. Many crazy things like that happened. The whole city shut down because of this match between India and Pakistan. So now, who can hit a ball? That becomes the most important thing, right? If you can hit a ball, when other countries they play cricket, they play football, who can kick a ball and hit it with their head. So they're using their hands for hitting balls. But previously in India, they use their heads for accumulating knowledge. And that used to be the criteria. They would have championships where the debate and improve their learning. And so that was how Nimai Pandit, he was doing these things and playing that game for a while. And so in those days, that was the, those who know English and don't need a Russian translation, you come on the front here. The back is more for Russian. Any Bengali translation in it? Bangalore Bad Dogan. In the title, what you tell, that were the champions. So who could it be? And it was based on the vast knowledge of the scripture. 300, even up to 100 years ago, there's a famous personality in Bengal. No translation? Do you need what? Integration? Serbia equation? Who can translate Serbia equation for us? Sit next to me. Announce, anyone else needs? Ask if anyone else needs? ¿Alguien necesita traducción en español? Aquí hay traducción en español. Maybe you can come in a neutral place. You can sit next to my audience, I think. Anyone else that needs a translation in some language? Chinese, Japanese. There was this, Prabhupada used to tell stories about the Gopal Bhar. He was a kind of a court jester. Like a humor, like a person that used to cut jokes with the king. You say, what does it have to do with the great Pandit? But what happened is one day, some big Vijay, some big Pandit like this went to the emperor's capital. In that time the empire capital was in Goat by Ram Kelly, where Rupin Sanatan used to met with Chaitanya. He challenged this Mughal emperor. This was before the British king. I challenge your pundits in your empire. I'm the greatest pundit. I know the scripture more than anyone else. So since all the pundits were in Navadvip and the king of Krishna, Nagar, which is the next city over, he was the king of Krishna of Navadvip.
observed.
The emperor sent a message to the king of Krishnanagar, of this Maurya district, kingdom at that time, that they sent some pundits up here to defeat this person for the, you know, ego, whatever, for the fame of our empire. And the king has sent the message over to all the pundits at that time in Navadvip, who wants to go and fight with the big Vijay. And all the pundits were afraid. They didn't want to go and risk. So then Gopal, he shaved off his hair, and he's not actually like a pundit normally. He's kind of playing as a courtier in the court of the king, but he's like playing jokes on the king. He's a very sharp guy. He's like in South India, they have Tenali Ram. He's that type of guy. In Europe, they had the guy wearing a clown, but in India, they weren't clowns. They're really sharp guys. And the Prabhupada said they're the only one that the king could joke on. Because the king, you know, always heavy. He was the Supreme Court, he was the judge, he was the administration, he was the top commander of the army. It'd be all the pressure on him. But sometimes he had to decide the capital punishment, he had to decide so many everything. So it was difficult. Sometimes they wanted a little bit of comedy relief. But if he would joke off with his ministers, then they couldn't do their job because people won't respect him anymore. So the only one guy he could joke with was this designated person. In this case, it was Gopal. So then the king one day told the Gopal, "You are an ass. You're a fool." And the Gopal said, "Sir, I'm not an ass. I'm not a fool. There's a difference between me and a fool." And then they said, "No, you are a first-class ass." "So no, your majesty, there's a difference between me and an ass." This went back and forth. Then he said, "Okay, tell me, what is the difference between you and an ass?" Then he measured out the distance between himself and the king, and he said, "You know, 2 meters and a half." So he was this kind of guy, you know. He could get away with it. Nobody else could do it. King, and he was the only one who could get away. But he always was very respectful, you know. But so when he heard the king was like really in anxiety, that, you know, because he's only a king and above him is the emperor, and his own, you know, good image is being ruined because this challenge of this pundit that I'm going to defeat everybody, if he doesn't send some pundit, then the emperor is going to think, well, this guy is useless. What kind of king is he? He's the king of Navadvip, which was the center of pundits. He's not sending anybody. So then when Gopal saw that the king was in big anxiety, he said, "Look, I'll solve it, don't worry." So how can you solve it? Be serious, Gopal. I mean, it's not you're not a fan. "No, I'll solve it. How much you give me if I solve it?" "I'll give you solve it, I'll give you 2,000 gold coins." I said, "Deal. I'm going to solve it, don't worry." So then Gopal went back, shaved his hair, made a big sikha. He got a special clothes, the Brahmin Pandit Dohi, got a Hari Nam shutter, put on a big tilak. He got the wooden shoes. Then he took he had an old bed in his, back of his house. So he took that was broken bed and had one broken leg. So he took off the leg from the broken leg from the bed, and he wrapped it in a silk cloth. Then he went to see the king. So finally, "Well, you're like a real pundit. What happened to you, Gopal?" And said, "What's that shastra you're carrying?" He said, "This is the Khatvanga Purana." Khatvanga Purana. You never heard of Khatvanga Purana? Kat means dead. And Anga is the leg. And Purana means all. All leg of the bed. So in Sanskrit, but it sounds like some Purana, you know, Bhagavad Purana, Vishnu Purana. This was Katvanga Purana. The king said, well, I never heard of that Purana. So then he said, then Gopal, he went up to see the emperor. He came in, really proud. I mean, just like, walked in, you know, like really arrogant. We walked in, saw the big Vijay. The big Vijay, why is this guy like so sure of himself, you know? So anyway, I'm very tired from the journey. Let me take a little rest up before I can debate with this person. Emperor said, no problem. Gave him first class guest room. Gave him, you know, he ordered all kinds of nice prasadam. Ate really good, rested up for a while, had a good time. But after like 4 or 5 days, you know, the king and the emperor said, what's going on? You know, this is eating. Gopal was a healthy guy also. Then he says, come on now, you should come out and defeat this guy. So then finally Gopal came. Then he kind of swaggered up with his Shastra. And then, you know, so the Digvijay said, I see you're carrying some scripture. He said, yes. I have the very special scripture that tells all secrets of the universe. This scripture, you can find all knowledge. And then, so what is that scripture? And there was some, this is the Katvanga Purana. Big Vijay, Katvanga Purana, Mani Purana, telling, what is the Katvanga Purana? I mean, in meanwhile, while he's spacing out trying to think of what is the Katvanga Purana mean, you know, then Gopal, he kneels down. I'm getting a message from the Katvanga Purana. Katvanga Purana is telling me something. It is always correct. Your Majesty, the Katvanga Purana says, this Pandit, whoever gets a hair from his hair, he will immediately be freed from all kinds of sins, and he will get all the good fortune, money, wealth, fame, everything. Only one hair from his head. Katvanga always tells the truth. Then everyone said, you know, wow, and they all died on this guy, so pulling his hair. And the guy's eyes screaming, and he ran out from that plane, and he's running after him, trying to pull his hair. So that was the end of the Digvijay, the all country. So the emperor was very pleased anyway. The pandit ran on. He said, okay, thank you. Please take 1,000 gold coins as your prize. You have won the debate. Then Gopal went back and saw the king and said, so I was victorious. He said, well, how were you possibly victorious? Why do you know? No, I have my Katvanga Purana. What is this Katvanga Purana? Then he showed it. It was a broken leg of his bed. Broken bed. Old broken bed leg. Katvanga Purana. And how could you do it, Gopal? I mean, you go right in the entry with a broken bed leg wrapped in a silken cloth. How did you have the guts to do that? I mean, you're amazing. You're absolutely astonishing. What made you think you get away with it? Anyone who's stupid enough to go to a Mughal emperor to debate Hindu Shastra, I know, and who's the judge? Like, who's going to know? Who knows anything? You want to debate Shastra, there should be a panel of pandits who can judge. What does the Mughal emperor know about Hindu Shastra, about Vedic literature? It's like sometimes we have to debate before some, you know, judge in the West. What does he know about the Vedic literature? So I said, well, the pandit's so foolish to go before a Mughal to judge his learning. Then I knew that, okay, Kadvanga Pran will get this guy. So we can, honestly, this was a regular thing. This was, you know, part of the wars. And then India, instead of having Olympics and running, and, you know, that was for the warriors, maybe the Kshatriyas and their fighting type of things. But otherwise, it was learning was a big thing. So, Lord Chaitanya, he was the greatest in Navadvipa. But when this Dikti Jai came, all the pundits were afraid that what's going to happen? If we go and we get defeated by Dikti Jai, then we're finished, right? We have to take him as our guru or something. In those days, if you were defeated by another pundit, then you have to touch his feet and you became his chela. And then they got the plan, let's send Lord Chaitanya, let's send this Nimai Pandit. He's anyway, he's only a child, I mean, he's only like a teenager, but he's a very big pundit. So if he defeats the Dikti Jai, we'll be more glorified, because it was a teenage pundit that did it. And if he doesn't, we get another chance anyway. And anyway, he was only a kid. So that was their strategy. So Lord Chaitanya, he was also enjoying this kind of, you know, pundit debating and that competition. Everyone in Navadvip had some big title. Bhatta Acharya, Chakravarti, Acharya, Misra. These all means big, someone who knows the all these acharya, he knows all the scriptures. But everyone had their own ideas. And everyone tried to defeat the other one. Even if someone was as wise as a Brahma, the other one couldn't accept it, always have their own opinion. Jato muni, tato mat. There's such as many as there are different pandits, everyone has some different idea. So, but nobody could have defeat Nimai Pandit. He was undefeated in Navadvipa. So when they would see Nimai, he'd run. They just run, because if he catch them, then he'd be defeated, they'd have to touch his feet, and it would be a whole embarrassment. So there was this Dikti Jai, Keshav Kashmiri. He came to Navadvipa. He was unalloyed devotee of Goddess Saraswati. He would chant her mantra. It's like we have Vishnu mantra, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You chant Hare Krishna, you get Krishna's favor. He was chanting Saraswati's mantra, so he got Saraswati's favor. Saraswati is one of the forms of Lakshmi. And so she's also a devotee of the Lord. And she's devotional service personified. And she's an aspect of learning. So this Dikti Jai was so fortunate, Mother Saraswati appeared before him because of his japa and blessed him that you will conquer the three worlds. So, if she wants to, she could give someone pure bhakti for the Lord. So, what's being a pandit of the conqueror of the material world? That's nothing. The material things are insignificant. Being a pure devotee, that's something really important. So he wanted to be a great pandit, so she gave that benediction. So after that, he would go place to place, and he'd defeat everybody and get all the prize money. Maybe the big, now you got people going and playing snooker, playing, you know, ping pong, playing, you know, poker, playing all kinds of things. In those days, people debate. So the emphasis was on knowing the Shastra. That's why when first the Christian missionaries came to India, they couldn't do anything because they said these pundits, they know, they really know their scripture. And they don't accept, you know, these very simplistic ideas. It took a lot of erosion of the rabbinical qualities in India before these other types of ideas came in. Nowadays, you know, it's hard to find anybody who read the Bhagavad Gita. Pandits, people have big names, but the pandits are very few. Still there are many, but not like before. But everybody with a big name is a pandit anymore. So after, because Navadvipa in that time was the center in India of learning. So first, you know, you conquered everywhere else. Now he's going to head on to Nadia, to Navadvipa. The center of all the pundits at that time in India. And there, he was going to challenge all the pundits. So, if he defeats Navadvipa, then the whole fame of Navadvipa will be diminished. So people are coming to learn because they see, you know, the Navadvipa pundits are really expert, they're very good. And this Kesava Kashmiri carried with him a Vijayapatra. He had a scroll. If anyone was defeated, at the sign, I was defeated. He had a long list of big, big pundits that signed their defeat. This was his gold medals. So they're afraid, and now Navadvipa will no longer be glorious if this big Vijay comes and conquers us. But he's blessed personally by Saraswati. So who can have the power to defeat him? So they're very anxious. What to do? Navadvipa has been top center in the whole of Jambudvipa. In other words, the whole world. So that's how they came to the end. All the pundits are really afraid. Because they all know they're all depending on Saraswati blessing. He already got this big blessing of Saraswati. So when this Digvijay Pandit came, he came with a host of elephants, palanquins. He doesn't just say he's like some kind of a king or something. He's coming in palanquin, elephants, bugles, horses, the all-conquering pundit, Digvijay! Dig means direction, and Vijay means victor, victor of all the directions. Keshav Kashmiri, bang, bang, boom, boom. He really came up. It was like a big thing, you know. That just, you know. I was in South America in Asuncion. And some football team was arriving, and in the airport they had the whole band playing, you know, all the South American tunes. And so it's like this, you know. So right now it's all sports, but those days it was like learning. So you can see that the same thing is going on, just now it's shifted instead of learning to some physical power. Now you got these boxers flexing their muscles and saying, I'm going to wipe out this other guy. $20 million they get for one fight. Everybody pays on the pay television. And then this is more interesting, they're discussing Shastra, right? There's something. So anyway, so you can imagine when he came like this and all the students said, what to do? This Kesava Kashmiri is coming in with elephants and horses. And then he might come in and laugh, and he said, you see, the Supreme Lord, he can never tolerate such a false pride. Excessive pride is not proper.
somebody becomes mad with their pride because he has some good ability, and the Supreme Lord takes away his pride. The tree is very heavy with fruit, or a person heavy with good qualities, they naturally bow down with humility. Then he mentioned there are many proud people in the Vedic history, Haihaya, Nahusa, Vena, you know Vena from Bhagavatam, Banasura, Narakasura is also mentioned in Bhagavatam, Ravana. They conquered all the directions. But see what happened to them. Their pride was crushed to powder. Supreme Lord could not tolerate their pride. You will all see how this pundit's pride will be taken away. Saying these words, the Lord smiled. At the sunset, he went with his students to the Ganges side. He touched the Ganges water, offered his obeisances to the Ganga, and he sat there amongst his students. This was the regular Nilaypan, as we discussed this, to sit there with him at the Ganges side, surrounded by his students. So, he would talk from the scriptures and preach religious principles. The Lord was thinking in his heart, so how should I defeat this big Vijay Pandit? He's very proud. Nobody in the entire world can challenge me. If I defeat him in front of many people, for him it will be like death. Everyone will make light of the Brahmana, and his wealth will be plundered. The Brahmana will grieve and die. The Brahmana should not suffer, but his pride should be cut. Therefore, in a secluded place, I will defeat this dignitary. He was like considering how to do it, what's the best way. How to do it. So he's very compassionate. Lord isn't just to him. Wants to humble him, doesn't want to kill him. Wants to purify him because he's also like a devotee. So that time, the pandit also came to that place by the right of the Ganges. Night was clear, it was a full moon. The Ganges was splendid. There by the Ganges side, the Lord was seated with the students. Even the smile of the Lord, his graceful teeth, his beautiful appearance, it just defeated people. Defeated pearls. His teeth were like little pearls. His lips were red. His body was charming and soft. And he was very, very merciful. The curly hair, and a neck like a lion's, shoulder like an elephant's, extraordinary appearance. Very tall, very handsome. Anantasesha took the form of his sacred throne. Beautiful Vaishnava tilaka on his forehead. His knees, his arms reached his knees. He used to wear his dhoti in a very special way so he could sit with his leg crossed over his thigh. He was lecturing on Shastra. He was proving it is this, it is not, it is, it is not. So the big Vijay happened to come across the Divine Pandit. He was amazed at how beautiful. Who is this person and all these students? He said, this must be Divine Pandit. He already, you know, scoped out the whole scene, you know. He'd heard of this Divine Pandit. So he just stood on the side watching him, looking at the Lord's handsomeness. He asked the student, what is his name? The student said, he is the famous Nimai Pandit. Then after offering his obeisances to the Ganges, the Brahman entered the Lord's assembly. And glancing the Lord's smile, offered him a seat. Vijay was very confident when he met anybody. But now when he was sitting next to Lord Chaitanya, he suddenly felt afraid. Never felt afraid before. Said, what's the power of the Lord? But some pundits see him, they just see him, they get afraid. So the Lord happily discussed 5 or 7 topics with the Brahmana. The Lord asked him a question. He said, your skill in poetry has no limit. No one is like you. You have so much learning in poetry. No one can describe things like you do. Please describe me a little something of the Ganges glories. By hearing this, we'll all be purified from our sins. When he heard the Lord's words, he immediately started his poetry. And he very quickly he described the Ganges. He composed just like 1, 2, 3, just like that, 100 verses for the Ganges. Very deep voice, very beautiful poetry to hear. Sound like thunder, one after another. Someone whose tongue is the home of the goddess of Saraswati. Very pleasing to hear. Very convincing. So he was speaking, I mean, just like that. What human being could find fault with what he was saying? Who could even remember? One after another, he was composing poetry, reciting it. Most of the people, like students there, they couldn't even understand what he's saying. So the Lord's thousands and thousands of students, they were stumped to hear this pandit speaking out one after another beautiful verses for the Ganges. They were thinking, how is it possible a human being? You know how you ever try to make a poem, how long it takes to make one poem, one verse? It's like, you know, yes, Pooja may take hours and hours, days. And he's just pum, 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 like shooting like some kind of machine gun, one after another. Beautiful poetry. For 3 hours, he spoke non-stop verses for the Ganges. Never seemed to end, and finally ended. And smiling, Lord Chaitanya said, unless you explain them, we're not able to understand your words. Please give an explanation of your words. When you explain them, they'll be understood in the right way. So hearing the Lord's, you know, statement, he started to explain. So as soon as the Brahmana started to make his explanation, the Lord interrupted him to point out 3 mistakes, one in the beginning, middle, and the end of his description. So these sabda alankara, that means oral, decorative words. They're very difficult, unusual. And very different from just ordinary words written in prose. So, the Supreme Lord Hari in the form of Lord Chaitanya, he asked him, so if you could please give a nice explanation so we can understand, you know, mistakes and your good and bad points, what's actually true. Now, Goddess Saraswati had somehow lifted her inspiration from the pandit because she's not going to support him fighting against her husband. So it's like his intelligence was blank. He couldn't see any mistake in anything he had said. He tried 5 or 6 times to make explanation, but the Lord was finding mistakes in his explanation. His intelligence had not fled. Now, this is where it doesn't give the details. What actually was discussed? But it mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There it says, how Keshav Kashmiri met Lord Chaitanya and said, well, I understand you're be my pundit, you're a great pundit of your teachers of beginner's grammar. And I understand you teach Kalapa Vyakaran. You know, you're already good at word jugglery and jugglery of grammar. Well, I said, yes, I'm known as a teacher of grammar, but actually I cannot impress my students with grammatical knowledge, nor can they understand me very well. You are a very learned scholar of all kinds of scriptures, and you are very expert in composing poetry. I am only a boy, only a new student, nothing more. Therefore, I'd like to see your skill in composing poetry. Please describe the glories of the Mother Ganges. So like that, then he composed this poems, and Lord said, there's no poet greater than you in the whole world. Poetry is very difficult. I think nobody but you and Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, can understand it. Now, the Prabhupada said, this is actually being very sarcastic. If nobody can understand what you're writing, then what's the use of it, right? So he was being sarcastic. Nobody but you and the goddess Saraswati can understand. But Lord Chaitanya, he could speak like that because he's the master of Saraswati. So he has the right to speak sarcastically about the devotees. So in other words, although Keshav Kashmir is very proud to be blessed by Mother Saraswati, he didn't know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is himself the controller of Saraswati. This is what the worshippers of the devas, they want to worship Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Saraswati, Durga, and so many, Kartikeya, Skanda, Ganapati. But they don't know the Lord is the controller of all the devas. He's Deva Deva, Jagatpati, Jagatnath. Therefore, their learning is can be used against Krishna. So if we could explain one verse, Lord Chaitanya said, then at least we could get some idea about what you mean. You'll be very happy to hear from your own mouth. So we could say, so which verse would you like to be explained? So then the Lord, he just picked out one of the 100 verses. I mean, Lord Chaitanya, as fast as he was speaking, he memorized all the 100 verses. Which itself is, you know, a miracle, you know. Whether Keshav Kashmiri really remembered all his 100 verses is another question. But Lord Chaitanya picked out one verse, and the verse is given here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahatvanga Gangaya Satatam Midamabhati Nitaram Yadisha Si Vishnu Charana Kamalottati Subhaga Vidya Si Lakshmi Rivasura Naraya Archa Charana Bhavani Bharturya Sirasi Vivatyad Bhuta Guna. The greatness of Mother Ganges always brilliantly exists. She is the most fortunate because she emanated from the lotus feet of Sri Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. She is the second goddess of fortune, and therefore she is always worshipped by both demigods and by humanity. Endowed with all wonderful qualities, she flourishes on the head of Lord Shiva. So when Lord Chaitanya asked him to explain this verse, the pandit was astonished. Said, I just recited these verses like blowing wind. How could you completely learn by heart even one among all the verses? The Lord said, you see, by the grace of the Lord, someone may become a great poet. And by His grace, similarly, one may also become a great Sruti Dara, or can memorize anything immediately. Sruti Dara. As soon as you hear it, remember it. Prabhupada explained that before, the intellectuals, their memory was so sharp, as soon as they heard something, they remembered it. That's why all the ancient scripture didn't have to be written. They had such a pure lifestyle, they had such a clean memory. Whatever they heard, they memorized it immediately. And we don't read every day, and we start to lose so many details. But they could memorize. In fact, Prabhupada told me once that in India, even during the British time, there were two Englishmen having a fight, and one was shot by the other. And this Brahmana was a witness. So they brought him to court and they asked him what happened. And he said, well, listen, I don't understand English. But I remember what they said. I don't know what it means. And then verbatim, like a tape recorder, repeated exactly what the two had spoken. And from that, then the judge could figure out what happened. That's the kind of memory that people have, right? It's inconceivable. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, this is a special mercy of the Lord. So you're very proud because you're blessed by Saraswati to be a pandit, but someone else may be blessed by Supreme Personality Godhead to be a Sutidara, to be able to memorize anything immediately to the by hearing it. So that satisfied the pandit. Then he explained the verse. Lord said, now kindly explain the special qualities and faults, especially the faults in your verse. So the Lord Chaitanya memorized it. While he said he memorized it, he picked out all the good and bad points of it. Have you ever liked that? You know English?
Yes.
You need that translation in Hindi? Yeah, no, you like that. We can find someone that speaks Hindi. So, the Brahmin said, there is not a tinge of fault in my verse. Full of good qualities and similes and alliterations. Lord just said, if you don't get angry, I'd be happy to say something to you. Can you kindly explain the faults of this verse? There's no doubt that your poetry is full of ingenuity and certainly is satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yet if we scrutinize and consider it, we can find both good and bad qualities. So therefore, let us carefully scrutinize this verse. The poet replied, yes, the verse you recited it perfectly, okay. You are an ordinary student of grammar. What do you know about literary embellishment? You cannot review this poetry because you don't know anything about it. In a humble position, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not on your level. I've asked you to teach me by explaining the faults and good qualities of your own poetry. Certainly, I have not studied the art of literary embellishment. But I have heard about it from higher circles. And thus I can review this verse and find in it many faults and many good qualities. The Prabhupada and the purport said, hearing is more important than study. If somebody's heard it from a bona fide authority, then that's But that's why we're learning something. We should hear everything from a bona fide spiritual master. And hear from him about the bona fide statements, authoritative statements of the Veda. Doesn't mean you have to be a highly literary person, a highly educated person, but one should be an expert in hearing from the Guru. This is called Avaroha Panta, the descending process of deductive knowledge. So the poet said, all right, let me hear what good qualities and faults you have found. The Lord said, please let me speak without becoming angry. Shalok was very humble. My sir, my dear sir, I find in this verse 5 faults and 5 literary ornaments. I shall state them one after another. Kindly hear me and give me your judgment. In this verse, the fault of Avim Rishta Vidyapsa occurs twice. And the faults of Iruda Mati, Bhagna Krama, and Punar Atta occur once each. The glorification of the Ganges, Mahatvam Gangaya, is the principal unknown subject matter in this verse. And the known subject matter is indicated by the word idam, which has been placed above, placed after the unknown. Because you have placed the known subject at the end and that which is unknown at the beginning, the composition is faulty. And the meaning of the words has become doubtful. Without mentioning what is known, one should not introduce the unknown. That which has no solid basis can never be established anyway. And the word Dvitiya Sri Lakshmi, a second all-opulent goddess of fortune. The quality of being a second Lakshmi is the unknown. And making the compound word, the meaning became secondary, and the originally intended meaning was lost. Because the word Dvitiya, second, is the unknown, in its combination, in this compound word, the intended meaning of equality with Lakshmi is lost. Not only is there the fault of Avim Rishta Vidyamsa, but there is also another fault, which I shall point out to you. Kindly hear me with great attention. Bhavani Bhartri Sabdo Dile Paya Santosh Viruda Mati Krita Namai Mahadosh. Here's another great fault. You have arranged the word Bhavani Bhartri to your great satisfaction. But this betrays the fault of contradiction. The word Bhavani means the wife of Lord Shiva. But when we mention her husband, one might conclude that she has another husband. It is contradictory to hear that Lord Shiva's wife has another husband. The use of such words in literature creates a fault called Viruda Mati Krit. The husband of the wife of Shiva. Well, it sounds nice, but Sanskrit, but when you hear it, place this charity in the hand of the husband of the wife of the Brahmana. When we hear these contradictory words, we immediately understand that the Brahmana's wife has another husband. The statement by the word Vibhavati flourishes is complete, qualifying it with the objective adjective Adbhutaguna, wonderful quality, creates the fault of redundancy. There is extraordinary alliteration in the 3 lines of the verse, but in 1 line there is no such alliteration. This is the fault of deviation. Although there are 5 literary ornaments decorating this verse, the entire verse has been spoiled by these most faulty presentations. If there are 10 literary ornaments in a verse with even 1 faulty expression, the entire verse is nullified. One's beautiful body may be decorated with jewels, but one spot of white leprosy makes the entire body abominable. As one's body, although well decorated with ornaments, is made unfortunate by even one spot of white leprosy. So an entire poem is made useless by a fault, despite alliteration, similes, and metaphors. This is from the sage Bharat Muni. Rasalankara bhaktabhyam dosha yukcha vibhushitam syadvapu sundaram api sitvenaikaena vidur bhagam. Now here the description of the five literary embellishments. There are two ornaments of sound and three ornaments of meaning. There is a sound ornament of alliteration in three lines. In the combination of the words Sri and Lakshmi, there is the ornament of a tinge of redundancy. Sri, Lakshmi. Sri and Lakshmi means the same. But that's poetic. In the arrangement of the first letter, the first line of the letter Ta occurs five times. Mahatvam gongangaya satatam idang abhati vikaram. So this Ta came five times. Third line repeats the letter Ra five times. Vidya Sri Lakshmi Iva Sura Narayan Archya Charana. In the fourth line, the letter Ba occurs four times. This arrangement of alliteration is a pleasing ornamental use of sounds. Bhavani Bhartuya Sirasi Vibhavat. Although the words Sri and Lakshmi contain the same meaning and therefore almost redundant, they are nevertheless not redundant. Describing Lakshmi as possessed of Sri opulence offers a difference of meaning with a tinge of repetition. This is the second ornamental use of words. The use of the words Lakshmi or Eva, like Lakshmi, manifests the ornament of meaning called Upama, analogy. There is also the further ornament of meaning called Yodabhasa, or a contradictory indication. Everyone knows that lotus flowers that grow in the water of the Ganges. But to say that the Ganges takes birth from a lotus flower is extraordinary contradictory. The existence of Mother Ganges begins from the lotus feet of the Lord. All this statement that water comes from a lotus flower is a contradiction. In connection with Lord Vishnu, it is a great wonder. In this birth of the Ganges by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, there is no contradiction, although it appears contradictory. Right? Ganga is coming from a lotus. That was very interesting. How is it possible that the water can come from the Lord? Lotus comes from the water. It's coming from the lotus foot of Vishnu. So like this, Lord Chaitanya was pointing out his defects and then pointing out his good aspects. So I have simply discussed the five gross faults and five literary embellishments of this verse. But if we consider in fine detail, we will find unlimited faults. So you have achieved poetic imagination and ingenuity by the grace of your worshipable demigod. But poetry not well reviewed is certainly subject to criticism. Poetic skill used with due consideration is very pure, and with metaphors and analogies it is dazzling. We have some nice poets here. After hearing the explanation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the champion poet was struck with wonder. His cleverness stunned. Couldn't say anything. He wanted to say something, but no reply would come from his mouth. He began to consider the puzzle within his mind. This mere boy has blocked my intelligence. I can understand that Mother Saraswati is angry with me. This wonderful explanation the boy gave could not be possible by a human being. Therefore, Mother Saraswati must have spoken through his mouth. Like this he was thinking. And my dear Nilay, I couldn't hear your explanation. I'm simply struck with wonder. I'm surprised you're not a literary student. You don't have long experience in studying the Shastras. How have you been able to explain this critical point? Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya, he replied humorously. My dear sir, I don't know what is good composition, what is bad, but whatever I have spoken must be understood to have been spoken by Mother Saraswati. So then he heard this. He wondered, why does Mother Saraswati want to defeat me to a small boy? So then he offered prayers to the goddess of learning. Why she has insulted me so greatly to this boy? Because Saraswati had induced the pandit to compose his verse in impure way. And when there was discussed, she covered his intelligence. For the Lord's intelligence was champion. When the poor champion was thus defeated, all the Lord's disciples sitting began to laugh loudly. So Lord Chaitanya answered, not to do, don't laugh, don't laugh. You are most learned scholar, my dear pandit. Topmost of all great poets. Otherwise, how could such fine poetry come from your mouth? Your poetic skill is like the constant flow of the water of the Ganges. I find no one in the world who can compete with you. Even the poetic compositions of such great poets, as Bhavabhuti, Jayadeva, and Kalidas, there are many examples of faults. Such mistakes should be considered negligible. One should only see how poets have displayed their poetic power. I am not even fit to be your disciple. Therefore, kindly do not take seriously whatever childish impudence I have shown. Please go back home and tomorrow we may meet again so that I may hear discourses on the Shastra from your mouth. In this way, both the poet and Lord Chaitanya went back to their homes, and at that night the poet worshipped Mother Saraswati. In the dream, the goddess informed him of the Lord's position. And the poet champion would understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality Himself. So same thing, Chaitanya Bhagavat said, the kids were all, I mean the students were laughing, he stopped them and said, we'll talk tomorrow. You must be tired of speaking so much, it's late at night, go and take rest. When the Lord would defeat other pandits and novices, he would always give them great pleasure. Oh, no, it's all right, anyway, tomorrow we'll discuss tomorrow. I appreciate your learning, you're a very nice pandit. He'd always treat them very respectfully. He was never... he smashed them, but he'd do it very nice. So it says Chaitanya Bhagavat that he lay down to sleep. Goddess Saraswati came before him in a dream. And Goddess Saraswati told him a great secret. Listen, O best of Brahmins, said Goddess Saraswati. I will tell you something which is hidden even from the Vedas. The person who defeated you is the master of the countless universes. That is certain. I am the eternal maidservant and his lotus feet. I am embarrassed to stand before him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. Brahman, I said, I would stay on your tongue, but in the presence of that person, I have no power to remain on your tongue. Lord Ananta Sesha recites the Vedas of thousands of mouths, as well as Brahma Shiva. And all the Devas worship the Lord, are in the end bewildered when they stand before the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the greatest. He is eternal, pure, unbroken, unchanging, perfect and complete. He stays in everyone's heart. I told you you would have knowledge of karma again, all sciences, whether auspicious or inauspicious, whether visible or not. Please hear why all that knowledge was destroyed. The person you saw was Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Lord Hari, appearing in the form of a brahmana. Every happiness and distress that you see in this world, from Brahma down to the insects, is ordered by that brahmana. please listen. From him come Bhagavad Kurma, all incarnations. Nothing is separate from him. He is the Supreme Lord himself. Like this Saraswati is explaining how he came as Varaha, Rama, how he came as Vasudeva, as the Vasudeva. Being a Digvijaya Pandit was not the true result you obtained by chanting my mantra. Now you have achieved, the true result. For now you have directly seen the master of the countless universes. Oh Brahmana, quickly go to him. Offer your body to him. Do not think these are the words of some dream, pushed by the power of the mantras you chanted. I have told you a hidden secret, hidden even from the Vedas. When the Brahmana woke, he went to see Lord Chaitanya, and he offered his prostrate dandavas to the Lord. The Lord picked him up and raised him. Why do you act in this way? The Brahmana replied, to get a glance of your mercy. You are a great Digvijaya Pandit. Why do you come to me like this? O King of Brahmanas, please hear me. To worship you is the perfection of all activities. You are Lord Narayana. In the form of a Brahmana, you have come in Kali Yuga. How can the people in general have the power to understand your true identity? From the very beginning, a doubt was born in my heart. Then you asked me questions and I could not answer them. You are the priceless Supreme Lord. All the Vedas describe you. I have seen the truth. It is not otherwise. 3 times you defeated me. Still you protected my honor. Who but the Supreme Personality of God has the power to do that? You must be Lord Narayana. Of this there is no doubt. With my words I defeated the pundits of Gaut, Chiyuta, Dili, Kasi, Gujarat, Vijayanagara. Went down to Vijayanagara, Karnataka, Andhra, Kanchipuri, Anga, Banga, Thailanga, Orissa, and all other places. I made them all 3 far away. They did not even have the power to understand my words. When I approached you, I no longer had the power to speak so eloquently. Where did all my intelligence go? It is not the least surprising you could do this, for you are the master of Goddess Saraswati. The Goddess personally told me that. By my great fortune, I came to Navadip and saw you. I am drowning in the well of repeated birth and death, bewildered by foolish material desires and forgetting the truth. I was cheated. By divine arrangement, by my good fortune, I was able to see you. Please place your merciful glance upon me. It is your nature to help others except for you. I have no shelter, no person to give me mercy. O Lord, please teach me how to act so that material desires will never again stain my heart. After speaking these very humble, pleading words, the Digvijaya Pandit spoke many prayers of glorification. Then he very humbly bowed down. Hearing the Brahmana's words, the Lord smiled and spoke. O best of the Brahmanas, please listen. You are very fortunate. Goddess Saraswati personally stays on your tongue. To think I will become a Digvijaya Pandit and conquer all directions is not true knowledge. But why is it that true knowledge is to worship the Supreme Lord? Engage your mind in worshiping Him. When He leaves the body, the soul cannot take with Him even a small portion of the wealth and power He has gained. Therefore, the great souls renounce everything and resolutely engage their hearts and minds in serving the Supreme Lord. Immediately renounce all these worthless material things and always worship Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Vidaigo Premanandi! Until death comes, you should always worship Lord Krishna. There's no doubt about it. The true fruit of knowledge is to worship the Supreme Lord Krishna. Denounce your false pride, worship Lord Krishna, be merciful to all the living beings, not repeat to anyone anything of what Goddess Saraswati has told you. If you do so, know for certain it will shorten your life and slow your progress to the spiritual world. He bowed down the Brahmana Bhava again and again to the Lord's lotus feet. To the Brahmana's pride, becoming a Digri Jaipana when far away, now he was more humble than a blade of grass. He renounced his elephants, horses, palanquins, wealth, everything else. He now traveled alone. Lord Chaitanya wants his only happiness. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, one can renounce the kingship and become a beggar. In Kali Yuga, the proof is Dabir Khas, who renounced the kingship and happily lived in the forest that is done. Rupsanata ki. Vande Rupasanata Narayanato. Sri Jiva Gopalano. Vande Rupasanata Narayanato. Servant of Krishna can very easily renounce the opulences all the world yearns to attain, as long as one heart these desires are there. I will be happy as a king or some exalted person in this world. One cannot know the real glory and happiness of devotional service. A servant of Krishna thinks, let the happiness of being a king or exalted person stay far away. Even the happiness of liberation is small and insignificant. I simply want to have the happiness of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His glance upon me. In this way, the Digni Jaya attained liberation. So the news spread around Nanadvip. Lord Chaitanya had defeated the Digni Jaya. Chaitanya Gosair Nila Mrite Radhara Sarvendriya Triptohiya Savane Jahar. The nectarian drops of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes can satisfy the senses of everyone who hears them. Are we all satisfied?
Yes.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Gaurabhakta
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Gaurabhakta
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Gaurabhakta He offers his obeisances to all the residents of Navadvip who have the power to see personally these pastimes of the Lord. And he gives a blessing to all of you. To anyone who hears of Lord Chaitanya's conquest of the Digni Jaya Pandit will never meet defeat. Anyone who hears Lord Chaitanya's very charming pastimes of tasting the nectar of learning will become the Lord's servant. So now you got two special blessings on hearing this pastime. Any question on today's reading? Adoriya Leela.
шастрах сказано, что в Кали-Югу, возможно, в качели служения Господу Джаганатхи, и что ни Рама, ни Кришна не могут вернуть человека только служение Господу Джаганатхи. Я бы хотела, чтобы Махарадж как-то прокомментировал.
She heard in Jagannath Puri that only serving Lord Jagannath can bring one back to Godhead. Neither serving Rama nor Krishna. Can you comment from that?
Which Pandya told you that? Is that from the Kadvanga Purana? We're also we're worshipping Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya is also Jagannath. He is the moving Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath is Daru Brahma. He is the Jagannath in the form of a wooden absolute. Those who see the difference between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath, they are actually offended. They don't know. Today, just because some people are leaving, so let me just tell you first before we leave that after Gaur Purnima, after the big Harinam in Calcutta, so I'm planning a safari. This time it's a Ganga safari. Well, half the way time, I think. The idea is we took Anna Ganges, we went by boats from Kanainath Shala to Mayapur, and from Mayapur to Panihati. But the Ganges goes all the way to the ocean. We never went up to the ocean. So we want to finish the journey and go from Panihati to the ocean. But we'll start a little about Panihati because we want to also trace out Lord Chaitanya's route from Shantipur down to the Jagannathpur. At least the main places. He went to Adi Saptagram. He went to his guru's pita where his guru was born. He went to Kordaha. He went to Nityananda. He went to Panihati rather. And then he went like that. So south of Calcutta also he visited some places. Then he crossed over and went into southern Bengal and Orissa. So we follow what Chaitanya's route as far as it goes alongside the Ganges. And then we go south and finish and take a little detour from Lord Chaitanya's route and go to Sagar Island. Along the route we visit some Namhattas and some places and do some programs. Sagar is where Kapila Muni's temple is, and it says Kapila Muni is still there meditating. Those who are very fortunate can see him. Maybe we'll, someone in the party will be able to get his darshan. We bathe at the confluence of the ocean, the Ganges. Then we come back. For one day in the morning we'll go for a 5-hour drive around the Sundarban jungles where the Royal Bengal tigers and the crocodiles are chanting Hare Krishna and chanting some japa, reading some scripture. We may see the tiger project and the crocodile project. We won't go walking in the jungle, we're just going to sleep in the morning. Then we go to Haldia, and we do a program there, and then we cross over, and then we follow, and we join up again with Lord Chaitanya's route. We go to Jalasur, where Lord Chaitanya had his pastime in northern Orissa, to Raghuna, where the creature Gopinath is. We go to Bhadrak, where Lord Chaitanya parted from Ramananda Rai, and where there are some holy places of Lord Chaitanya and one ISKCON, two ISKCON centers there. We go to Bhubaneswar and see our ISKCON center and the holy places of Puranas and Lord Chaitanya there. Then we go to Jaranapuri. Spend some days in Jaranapuri. People are free to come first half, last half, some part of it. Or you're able to stay for the whole safari. That's the basic plan. You'll be visiting Nityananda's birthplace, Virchandra Prabhu's birthplace, Nityananda's house. We'll visit the place of the forefather of Srila Prabhupada, which is Udayan Datta Thakur, and some holy places there, connected to the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. We also visit all these different places I mentioned. We also see the Jagannath deities. We have to worship Jagannath, as it was said, so we do worship Jagannath in different forms. There's an ancient Jagannath which was worshipped by Kamalakar Pippalai, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And there's also two deities we see, the Radha Sham Sundar deity, which was installed by Virchandra Prabhu, Kira Dakshaya Vishnu incarnation, son of Nityananda. And he also installed a deity of Radha Balava, which will also, Krishna allows us, we'll get the darshan. And this is, the boatmen, we were going to get huge big boats, steel boats, but they wanted lots of money, so we're getting some very nice wooden boats. Big ones, 20, 30, 25 meters long or so. And for 10 days we'll be traveling by the boat. Sometimes we'll stay in guest houses, sometimes we'll sleep on the boat. And whatever is better of the two options. Safari means it's a little bit adventure. And we'll be meeting lots of nice devotees, a lot of nice Namhat devotees. And today's our preaching. So the idea, it's not just a tour, it's a preaching tour. The Prabhupada used to take the morning, so some holy, but it's also pilgrimage, plus also preaching, both. So those who come, we hope to also do a little preaching. We ask the ladies and the men, everyone, either to sing bhajans or give a talk sometime, tell how we became a devotee. We don't force it, but we invite everyone, give them a chance to get a training. And experiencing how it's like in India to preach. And every year we go somewhere different. I don't know if we'll ever go this route again or not. That's up to Krishna. But first time we're ever doing it, so it'll also be an experience. I went to Sagar Island, but never by river all the way from Germany. The next year, we're trying to go on, the Tirupati temple opens, we'll try to go on the South Indian safari, at least it seems that safari will be very short, because the Parikrama is supposed to be after Gaur Purnima next year, the present, so I don't know how much time we'll have. But it's like that every year, it's something different, according to the needs, preaching. I really wanted to go to Bangladesh. It was my desire because one minister invited us to go there. But then this whole problem in Iraq with the American government came up. And this part of the world, it's not safe. I don't feel safe to bring my devotees. If I feel safer with the Bengal tigers than I do with the to bring 100 Western devotees from around the world into Bangladesh when the Americans start bombing Iraq. I don't know what happens. But no, we're not going to spend too much time with the tigers. Since we're going right by, we're just going to take a little detour for 2 hours. See the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's ancient places. But mainly we'll be visiting the Naha preaching and visiting Lord Chaitanya's holy places. It's interesting to see that they say you can visit many holy places in India, but at least one time you have to visit Sagar. Sankirtan Bahubar, Sagar, Ganga Sagar, Ekabar. This will be my second visit, right? Nice. I went during the Mela, there's 600,000 people. It'll be like nicer. So anyone who wants to participate in that safari, Marichi Das is here. He's the one who told me to talk about this. He's supposed to be here. Somebody, he's late. We noticed. Okay, so he'll be here in a few minutes. I did my part. I explained what the basic program is. He'll come and tell what if anybody wants to participate, what we have to do. Yeah, no. Tonight at 7 o'clock there's going to be a B report. Right now the RT should be going on. And after the B report, just a short B report by the chairman of the GBC for Vanamata to keep up our tradition. We haven't had yet. Usually we have many reports, but this time we're short. And then it's to go for our parikrama. We're walking for 7 days, 6 nights, around Nalutita. Not all of you have to walk, but if you do get tired, you can take a rickshaw or you can stay in Mayapur from Surakam by bus or boat, whichever is more convenient. For those who watch, I'll be personally sleeping out on the parikrama. I have my own tent. But sometimes I just stay in the same tent with everybody else. Depends how much space there is for my tent. And I'll be there too, and with other preachers, other devotees will be there, and to spend some time with all of you, and it's a little more, the evening is quite peaceful. It's a good exercise, and it's very spiritually enlightening to see all the place. When you hear the pastime, but when you actually, because I hear, I want to tell the story about the mind part is just looking over the Ganges. So then we walked by that place, kind of the joke pit by the Ganges. So it's kind of relevant. It has a special meaning when you're there and you hear about it. When you go to different places and tell what happened there, I don't know, it just has some very special meaning. And as I mentioned earlier today in the curriculum, Arivas, we're always looking for new holy places. You'll find many places mentioned in the Navadvip Mahatmya, the glories of Navadvip Dal, mentioned, but you don't find, you don't go yet. Because some of them have been lost in the 500 years since that was written, they're already lost. So, but sometimes there's some Bhakti Vinodta knew where they were, and some and Bhakti Siddhanta Saritaka knew the goals. But in the meantime, people already forgot. So we recently found 177-year-old sadhu when he was a child. He was on the parikrama with Bhakti Siddhanta Saritaka. And he showed us what Arkatila is, which is not different from one, this one, Arka, holy place in Vrindavan. Arka, Surjikunda. So like that, we're also, for me it's always exciting to go out and when you're there, sometimes it's like some holy place manifests. We're still looking for the hills of the seven rishis. But we've been able to discover about 7 hidden places since we've been on the kirtan. We have devotees always keeping their eyes out, looking and researching. We want to get the satellite pictures and see if we can find the 7 hills. But you get so much mercy by going on the kirtan because of the some special breath. And when we go on this today, safari will be a Gaur Mandal parikrama. This is Navadvip Mandal, and beyond Navadvip Mandal, Gaur Mandal. So the Gaur Mandal parikrama and also Sri Chetra parikrama. Jagannath Puri is called Sri Chetra. So we'll be staying the whole night within the dams. Gaur Mandal Dham and Sri Chetra Dham. So that's also something very special. I personally, every few years, I like to do a Ganga safari because the Ganges is something so special, such special pastime of Lord Chaitanya, living on the Ganges. I go for 10 days, we'll be going on the Ganges. When you're chanting a japa on the Ganges, or singing bhajans, or reading, and you're just riding in the Ganges, it's just unbelievable how wonderful it is. It's really something amazing. And just people that say that they can chant the japa, it just comes naturally when you're on the Ganges. It's so purifying. So you get a much deeper relationship than just by going and bathing and living on the Ganges for a week or 10 days. It's something really special. So I've already mentioned all these things. So do you want to tell the people that are interested in the safari to go on the other side? Do you want them to be here and I go on the other side? I already explained the whole routing. Then I was just talking about for the parikrama, you should go to the just to go see tonight. Where do you want the people to go if they want to be in? And I give them prasad? No?
What do we do?
Please make lines, 2 lines, one for the men and one for the ladies.